I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to set forth his praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation, and so that we may prepare ourselves in heart and mind to worship God, let us kneel in silence and with penitent and obedient hearts confess our sins, that we may obtain forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. O come, let us adore him. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another. Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard, their sound has gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the world. In the deep has he set a pavilion for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat. The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, much more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can tell how often he offends? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
A reading from the prophet Nehemiah. All the people of Israel gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the 7th month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, and all the people stood up, then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. They then bowed and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to them, those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. First letter to the Corinthians. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. Indeed, The body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? All speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Are all teachers? But strive for the greater gifts. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. With the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release by the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, I am so excited to be here today. I have looked forward to this day for a really long time. The hometown boy, finally able to climb up into the pulpit and deliver a sermon to his home church. Man, I wonder if this is what Jesus felt like. I hope you're as excited about this as I am. I wonder if this is the way Jesus' hometown felt like. You know, now that I'm officially a lay preacher in the Episcopal Church, I've discovered something. Being an Episcopal preacher isn't all it's cracked up to be. It's kind of a drag. I mean, let me explain this. So right now, over yonder, down the road a piece, our more evangelical sisters and brothers are sitting in their pews listening to a preacher. And I am sure that preacher spent a lot of time thinking about what message they wanted to preach to their flock. Then they gathered up a bunch of Bible verses that went with that message. Man, that would be cool. I wish I could do that. But that's not the way it works in the Episcopal Church. See, as Episcopal preachers, we're given the readings for the week, and then we're expected to wrap a sermon around those readings. Now, I suppose once you reach Robert's level of professional God person, you're allowed to wander off the script once in a while. Maybe you preach a sermon that has nothing to do with the readings for that week. But I am sure, as a newbie, I am expected to follow the script. I am also sure that if I were to fire out of the gate with my very first sermon that had nothing to do with this week's readings, this would be the last time you ever saw me in that pulpit. So we're not doing that. My sermon is going to have something to do with these scriptures. I promise. But, you know, it does make me wonder. Was Jesus an evangelical preacher, or was he an Anglican preacher? What I mean is, did he tell that attendant which scroll to give him? Or was he just handed a scroll and expected to come up with a sermon off the cuff? Maybe that's why his sermon was so short. Can you imagine what those people felt like? I mean, put yourselves in their shoes for a second. I know it's hard, and we've got very little in common with them, but work with me here. Imagine you live in a society where these two powerful political groups are fighting for your undying loyalty. They're demanding that you accept their agenda wholeheartedly and without question. It's their way or the highway. You have to be all in, no compromise, no middle of the road. Man, that would be hard to imagine. The only thing that would make that harder is if there was some sort of biblical Egyptian plague that was going on right in the middle of that whole mess. And then comes Jesus. Hometown boy, hometown hero. He reads a piece of beautiful scripture that talks about all these wonderful things that God was getting ready to do for his people. Through a human being and the Holy Spirit. Then he hands the scroll back to the attendant. He sits down and he says, "Yep, that's me. I'm that guy. And I'm getting ready to do all of this right now. When you guys leave here today, everything's going to be right as rain." Man, that would be like me telling you, because you're here today listening to my sermon, all your problems are going to go away. And when you leave here, there's not going to be any COVID-19. There's not going to be any political strife. Everybody's going to get along. You'd think, D, you're crazy, or D, you're lying. But that's what Jesus said, right? That's what he said. Well, okay. What he said was, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. But that's the same thing, right? I don't think that's the same thing at all. I don't think that's what Jesus meant. Here's what I think Jesus meant. I think Jesus was trying to tell those people and us, if you can hear the scripture, really hear it, let it absorb into you like skin cream, or let it be like soaking in a nice warm bubble bath, or let it penetrate you like the smoke and the heat of a raging campfire. If you can hear the scriptures that way, they will fill you with a sense of peace and safety and security. They'll be a shield for you. All that craziness and chaos, it's still going to be going on all around you. But internally, spiritually, you are going to feel protected. That's what I think Jesus was trying to say. And that was the message that I wanted my sermon to be about today. But I can't just come out and say that. That's not what a good preacher does. Come on, I'm being graded here, folks. And I'm praying that Robert isn't grading on the curve, because we've heard a lot of really great sermons here over the last 2 years. No, I'm shooting for a solid C. C's a good grade, right? But I got to earn that C. I've got to come up with a really clever way to deliver this message to you. I've got to come up with a way to deliver this message that's just going to blow your mind. I've got to come up with a way of delivering this message that you're never going to see coming. I need you, when you walk out of there today, I need you to go, wow, so that that message stays with you for the rest of your life. That's what I need to do. So there I was, lying in bed, racking my brain on what type of clever way I could put this around my sermon. And then it happened. I heard my dog barking. My dog, Buddy. I had put my dog, Buddy, outside, closed the door, and forgot about him. And now he was at the back door barking. So I got myself out of my warm, comfortable bed. I turned off the alarm. I went to the back door, and I let him in. And you know, when he came in, he wasn't angry. He wasn't dejected. He wasn't sad. He was just happy to be in the warm house and happy to have his warm, comfy doggy bed. And he brought that happiness and that joy and that love into the room as only a dog can do. And as I was headed back to bed, I thought, thank you, God. That's it. That's the vehicle I'm going to deliver my sermon on. It's perfect. Have you ever felt like God has put you outside, closed the door, and forgotten about you? Man, I feel that way all the time. It's perfect. It's going to blow your mind, and you're never going to see it coming. The problem is, it's not perfect. It's not perfect at all. The God I grew up with, the God I was taught about all my life, the God that Robert preaches to us about every Sunday, would never put me outside, and he would never forget about me. Now, that cannot be it. Then it occurred to me, you know, I don't actually remember putting Buddy outside. Now, maybe my wife Kelly put him outside, but I don't think so. Here's what I think happened. To get to our backyard, you actually have to go through two doors. The main door and a steel storm door. But the problem is that metal storm door, the latch on it's broke. And Buddy has discovered that if the main door is open, he can push against that storm door and let himself out. He loves it. I think Buddy let himself out. And I didn't realize he was out, so I closed the door. And now he's at the back door barking so that I will get up and let him in. That's it. It's perfect. Have you ever felt like you have let yourself outside and God, not realizing you were out, shut the door? So now you're at the back door barking so that God will get up and let you in. I feel that way all the time. It's perfect. Well, not quite perfect. See, God always knows where I'm at, and he would never shut the back door if he realized I was outside. That can't be it either. But what if I've got these roles reversed? What if I'm the one inside the house and I have put God outside and closed the door and forgotten about him so that now he's at the back door barking so that I will get up and let him in? It's perfect. Have you ever felt like you have put God outside, closed the door, and forgotten about him? I feel that way all the time. And when I hear him at the back door barking, I get up out of my warm, comfortable bed. I turn off the alarm. I go to the back door and I let him in. And you know, when he comes inside, he is not angry or dejected or sad. He's just happy to be in the room with me again. And he brings that happiness and that joy and that love into the room like only God can do. Then he starts speaking the words of Scripture. And if I'm lucky, if I'm really lucky, I hear Scripture. Really hear it. Like it's absorbed into my skin like hand cream. Or soaked into me like a warm bubble bath. Or penetrating me like the smoke and the heat from a raging campfire. And then that Scripture fills me with a sense of peace and safety. So if you ever find yourself struggling to hear Scripture, really hear it, let it absorb into you, soak into you, penetrate you like skin cream or a warm bubble bath or a raging campfire, listen. Listen very closely. If you hear God barking at your back door, get out of your warm, comfortable bed. Turn off the alarm, go to the back door, and let him in. Amen.
Please stand as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray to God, who is made manifest in Jesus Christ.
As the prophet Isaiah went out, arise, shine, for your light has come. Empower your church, O God, to ring out the good news of the light of your Son Jesus, which pierces even the deepest darkness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As a star rose high into the nighttime sky to draw the nations to the Christ child, send your blessing, O God, on this nation and every nation, and draw the whole world to your peace and truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As John the Baptist guided throngs of people to the edge of the wilderness and baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, we pray that you would guide our country and our leaders to the ways of justice and righteousness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As Jesus climbed the mountaintop and proclaimed blessings on the people of the world, we pray for the sick and the distressed and the poor and the lame. We pray especially for Jim, JR and Courtney, Pat, Gail, Priscilla, Greg, Cindy, Joycey, Kelly, Barry, Pete, Kat, Xavier, Becky, Alexander, Terry, Kenton, Dale, Sarah, Peter, Mary Ann, Kelly, Gabby, Gracie, Gretchen, family of Leanne Hampton, Paula, Margaret, Jacqueline, John, and Jamie, Zach, Steve, Kyle, Richard, Bonnie, Valerie, Amy, Lori, Roy, Ava, and Cheryl. As Jesus called his disciples to leave their nets and boats and follow him, we pray for those we love and those who have answered your call to follow Jesus to your heavenly kingdom. Give them your peace, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, light of the world, hear our prayers and make us reflections of your light, that the places of darkness in our world would be pierced by your light, and that all nations would be drawn to you and be overwhelmed with joy. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Welcome. Are there announcements?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to this morning's service. Quickly, I'm just going to let Lloyd give us a brief summary of how the food pantry did yesterday. And
we had a very good turnout of helpers and of people looking for implicit need. It was about 1:15 when Deb called and said, "Lloyd, is the food pantry going to be open today?" And I said, "Yeah, between 2 and 4. Well, we had one sitting here since noon. So they were here for us when we got here. And overall, I know it was over 20, and I didn't look at the number because I didn't expect to give this report, but I really think it was about 26 adults, about 6 children, and 2 dogs. So we had a big crowd yesterday. You can't quote me because I'm guessing it off the top of my head, and it's sort of out there sometimes. But we had a good turnout. They seemed to come pretty consistent. We had 2 volunteers to start with, then 3, then 4, and then went back down to 3, and then right as we closed, we went back down to 2. But we had it covered all day long, and it worked well, except we didn't cover it before noon, or before 2 o'clock. But even then, we had them here to tell them that we would be here. So it was a good day, and I believe it's picking up. So, thank you much. Also ran into an old member of the church because I was stuffing snack packs for Southside Abbey, and I needed some snack packs from down here, and went down to Family Dollar to get them, or from the bag to put them in, and there was a gentleman by the name of Ty, who now is an organist up at our pianist, an organist up in Saudi Nation, but he said, "Tell Ty," and dropped some cards off, and he'd send more people our way.
Just a note from the flower field, we do have a sign sheet available for you. This season's moving along, it's going to be Easter season before we know it, and of course Lent, we do a little differently at that time. So please take advantage of that wonderful calendar that's attached set up for us to sign the flower field. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, who art the author of peace and lover of concord, to join you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us, your humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your defense, may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through the might of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit, that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you, for the honor of your name. Amen. Let us pray. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience, by which he overcame temptation, for his dying, through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him, at all times and in all places, may give thanks to you in all things. Amen.
Thank you.
Alleluia, alleluia. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia,
alleluia.
May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.